If you run a business, here's a way to do it smarter. The Business Bundle from Old Mutual's SME Go is your all-in-one business building toolkit that helps you manage HR, payroll, legal, accounting, and day-to-day operations. With free access to a B2B marketplace, the SME Go Business Bundle is built to save you time, cut admin, and help your business grow. Our price reduction is only 599 Rand a month. Try it for a month for free and sign up at smego.co.za now.
You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Scott Glow, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. Now, we have to talk about a really big issue, and it involves gold. But before we do, Aspen Discovery and Woolies caught my eye today, notably Discovery with a trading statement because the share price has gone up 4.5%. Did you have a glance at these numbers?
Yeah, I had a glance. Actually, looked at a few of these companies, and you can add into the mix Discovery as well, because they had a trading statement, yeah, as well.
That was one I was talking about. What did I say? I said Aspen Discovery and Woolies, and Discovery 4.5% up. Woolies,
yeah, 4.8.
Yeah,
4.8. So I think all of them caught my eye. I'm going to very quickly run through them for the listeners out there. Discovery, I think that was most probably the biggest reaction today. They actually came up with operational updates stating that their HEPS, or headline earnings, is expected to increase between 27% and 32%. That's a massive jump.
Yeah.
And that helped its share price today, you know, increasing 4.78%. So in general, we'll see when the actual results come out. They did have a bit of a breakdown of, you know how did Discovery Bank and Alpha. It's very, very, very low key, and I think I presume we'll have a lot more info when the actual results actually are being released. But great day for them. Aspen, we had the trading statement a few weeks ago. We you and I had this conversation about it. Just doesn't seem like they could catch a break. I mean, they were just, you know, I think a few months ago they had this announcement that they going to producing this weight loss drug, and you know, there was a bit of a positive reaction, but the results just didn't look good. It didn't look good.
You don't recover. You remember that day we were chatting, and I said, "What's the story with Aspen?" And you said, "Goodness, I don't really know," because neither of us realised that this thing had fallen over 30% in one day. And when you get that sort of sucker punch like that, you don't recover from it. You don't get up off the canvas using boxing terminology that quickly. It's a struggle. 30% down. It takes a long time to get that 30% back.
Correct. Now they're sitting with higher debt levels. They need to now. I started off this conversation about Aspen catch a break. They mention a few manufacturing disputes and reasons why, you know, they're talking about the manufacturing being down 62%. There was a few reasons why we've seen this drop, and it's not one I'm holding, but I mean, even you know, after the most recent, you know, trading updates reaction to those trading updates, we had a further drop of 1.5% drop in the share price today by Aspen. So it's been one that's been struggling. And then Woolworths, I mean, it's sort of, I feel like a parrot, like just saying all over the same things every 6 months. I mean, when are they going to get rid of the, you know, Australian businesses? When are they going to split the two companies into two, you know, have a food company, have the fashion, beauty and home separate? So we're not going to do that again today.
No, we're not going to do it again today. But the reason that I've started looking at Woolies more closely is because of that value investor gentleman. I sent you his recent podcast with me.
And we can give him the miles. It's John Bickard.
It's John Bickard from 91. He's based in New York. And he said, I asked him at the end of the podcast, what is your favorite stock at the moment? And he said it was Woolies because he'd finished buying it and it had gone out of the MSCI. And he came up with these extraordinary statistics on companies that have left the MSCI and have subsequently gone on to greater things. Now, I haven't looked at all of the companies that have been booted out, the South African ones, but it did sound like quite an illustrious list. So Woolies is interesting. If he likes it, then it's worth investigation.
Yeah. No. I mean, definitely worth the investigation. I mean, so let's look at the pros and cons. I mean, usually when I take any investment, I do your typical SWOT, your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And when you look at the strengths of Woolies, it's a phenomenal brand. I mean, it is a company that's been doing really well, specifically the food side. The profit margins have always been able to be higher than the counterparts, purely because it's a bit of a, one could say, a premium brand to some of the other food producers. But then you look at your weaknesses. Fashion, beauty, home, that's always been a bit of a lull business.
Because it's too fragmented, isn't it? There's too many brands. Yes. That's what we've always said.
Correct. And then I think that the biggest weakness, which will go over to the threat, really the threat of the company continuing doing bad, is the Australian businesses. Now, they got rid of David Jones, but they still got the Country Roads Group. And, I mean, when you look at the 52 results, which was brought out today, I mean, sales for Country Roads down 5.4% again, 6.8% like for like. I mean, it's just when I go through this Country Road business, I mean, I just don't get warm and fuzzy. They got rid of it. Now, Standard Bank had a nice comment today in their research report where they said, well, they don't think that the Country Roads Group disposal is imminent, but, and there's the big but, they do think that the market will increasingly question how far a waste management from reducing or further reducing their exposure to this region. And I think that's a very, very good question. We know that they went far enough, I don't know if it's earlier this year or last year, I mean, time is flying, to physically get rid of David Jones, taking a big, big, big loss on the original investment. And, you know, I do think that management will get to a point where say, well, let's just call it a day. I mean, David Jones didn't work. Country Roads clearly is not working. Let's just focus on what we've been doing and we've been doing well, and that's our Woody's brand. So let's see how that goes.
You shop there, though, right? You shop there, don't you?
I do shop there.
Okay. Now, obviously, the food is exceptional compared to the competition. Although I suppose ShopRite is catching up in certain areas. But, I mean, Woolies is standout. But it's the clothes that interest me when it comes to you, Skulk. Because when you get to a certain age as a man, you think to yourself, when you were young, you used to be able to wear this or that and go to this shop and that shop, you know, cool shops. Now, you know, it's if you're going out to buy something, you go straight to Woolies, don't you?
No, I don't. Oh, I actually do not.
Really?
I really do not have a single item in.
So where do you go?
I've got a. I mean, I'm not going to give these guys free mileage because I love them to bits. But I mean, I'm a very. Firstly, I mean, I'm one of those typical men that my wife need to pull me out of the house kicking and screaming at least once a year to, now we're going to do some clothing shopping for you. I've got, let's call it two or three, a very, very, you know, smaller, I don't want to say boutique because then you're going to think I'm hoity-toity, but it's just these three little shops that I've been supporting over the past 20 years. I go in there. I know the gentleman is going to look at me and he's going to say, well, we're going to go for a 41 long. It's going to go this and it's going to be blue or white. That's it.
Okay.
I walk out of there within 4 minutes and 30 seconds. And I've got a smile. My wife's got a smile. And I know I'm fine for the next 365 days.
The reason
days
I say today. That is because if I was in the UK, I would immediately go to Marks and Spencer's. I can't be bothered. It's so complicated in London to find this independent retailer, clothing retailer, or that one, or read up about them in magazines. I go straight to M&S, and I suppose Woolies is the equivalent of M&S. That's all I was saying. But I'm glad you're staying independent, Scott. Okay, so we've done Woolies, Discovery, Aspen. Was there anything else on the JSE today that stood out?
No, I think Cashbuild had a trading statement as well. Not going to go into them. It's that trading statement is already well. Ooh. Wait a minute. No, it's a dividend story. So that's just a 3.3% drop. No, I mean besides let's call it Woolies, Aspen, Discovery. I don't think there's been any major movers.
All right, let's talk about the real story. Now, I was watching my screen. I use a company that is it covers the markets excellently, and it doesn't cost me anything. And I'm looking at my phone, and it's quite late. It's about 11:30, and markets are closed. I mean, the official markets in New York and Chicago, etc., are closed, and the spot gold price is flashing. Every nanosecond, it's going to news. On my screen, it was 3,600, but there are various different screens, and that might have been a futures price. But I saw this thing, and I thought, goodness me, something is going on. We know what it's been. Is this a blow-off that we should be scared of, gold investors, that is? Or is this telling us something a little bit more sinister? And then I looked at the bond market. Now, the 30-year Treasury bond went through 5% in the last 24 hours. Now, that's quite a big deal. And that's the long end of the curve. The short end's still behaving itself relative to the long end. But I thought, it's September. Is something going to happen? Or am I just looking for it, Skalk? Am I looking for a sell-off? Tell me. Be brutal. Come on, you're laughing.
And to listeners out there, Lindsay and myself do have, you know, sometimes we could stalk up a very, very nice bit of conspiracy every now and then and think that this will be the top. But the one thing that I think we've been calling, not just for the past few months, but for the past, I would say 2-3 years is that little word, stagflation.
Yes.
And I still very much believe that everything is in place to bring us to the point where we'll actually see the stagflation. And I think that's the main reason why we've seen these latest movements. Now, to your first question, I mean, and I always say, always my crystal ball is the murkiest of murk on the best of days. So to tell you that something will be happening, is definitely, I mean, I'll be guessing. All that I can tell you is the gold price will not have these type of movement if the market is not expecting something major to happen.
Quite right.
It will not.
It's never been going for
you can go back at it. Correct.
It's doubled. Did you see that? I put a chart on Twitter, on X. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's gone up in a straight line, which is always very dangerous. But on the other hand, the fundamentals support it. And again, our friend John Bickard came out with a very cogent argument on why you should hold gold. And he spoke about the equities as well. What has happened to the equities behind this gold price, please, Skalk?
I sent you that graph, I think yesterday or 2 days ago. I'm going to try and find it on X. It was a tweet by Chris Catt, and I think that will most probably be the one that's one of the biggest. I don't think there's enough focus on this graph. And this graph, they look at US Treasuries as a percentage of foreign reserve.
And that's right. I've got it. If you want me to send it back to you, but yes, go on. I've got the graph.
The foreign reserves and also the gold holdings as percentage of the foreign reserves within the central banks, the global central banks. Now we know that the fall of gold was there in the late 90s, and back then, let's call it run about 95, that's where, for the first time ever, where gold reserves dropped below the U.S. Treasury reserves. And since then, it's just been most of the let's call it foreign reserves by central banks was held in U.S. Treasuries. For the first time since 1995, gold holdings as percentage of foreign reserves now surpassed the U.S. Treasury holdings. I think that's massive. And we know that the Russians and the Chinese, you know, every single quarter you get the data from different sources stating that they were buying some more gold. I think it's always been one of your best hedges and protectors against let's call it a stagflationary environment. And I think the market is telling us this time it's going to be no different if that should happen.
September, skunk, September. Maybe it's the cracks start to widen in September. The markets, the equities markets and other risk assets are overpriced. Someone's a big, big seller of Bitcoin. It's okay, it's stabilizing now, but it was down close to 106,000 versus its high of 124,000. So someone's been getting out of that. And they say that this whale wallet has been going into Ethereum, but Ethereum hasn't exactly done well relative to Bitcoin. But anyway, that's been going on. The Treasury market at the long end breaking upwards in terms of yield, and the gold price through 3,600. I mean, come on now. You've got to say that, and September, the month of September, which is statistically the worst for stock markets, not October, it's September you've got to be scared of. I think you better cancel your holiday to Tuscany.
Yeah. And then you've got big companies, most probably the biggest research company in the world, namely JP Morgan. Mm. They brought out a research report brought out by JP Morgan Commodities Research. They updated their outlook on gold, saying that they expect gold now to breach $4,000 per ounce in quarter two, 2026. They actually put a date. I mean, this is crazy. This is crazy. I mean, am I investing in gold? For the listeners that have not been listening to this podcast or the 5 o'clock shadow at least, yeah. On a Wednesday, I've been investing in gold for many years now, and I've made it clear. I think you asked me, I think a few months ago, am I considering, you know, taking profit? No, I think that the investment case for gold is still very much intact. And while that investment case for gold, why I'm invested in gold in the first place, is still in place, I do think it still justifies a holding in a portfolio.
And the fundamentals are getting better since you first started buying it. They've got better and better since you bought it. So congratulations for buying it in the first place and holding on secondly. But you didn't answer my question. How are the equities doing compared to the actual gold price?
Oh, no. So that's also a lovely question. I mean, we had this, I can't recall when we had this conversation. But I think that this was most probably about 8 months, 9 months ago.
Yes.
Beginning of the year where the actual gold miners still lagged the gold price. In gold, and we back then, I mean, the gold price was high, but we said, well, there's still opportunity. If you haven't bought the gold miners, you can still get in. They were still lagging, you know, seriously lagging the gold price. I'm actually looking at the graph. This was beginning of January. They were lagging, massively lagging there. Now they did catch up. So make no mistake, there's the dripping roast is gone. I mean, you getting into the gold miners to say, well, of this year, the gold miner has done way, way, way better than the actual gold price. But as you just mentioned, the fundamentals of gold is still
I've
there.
Never seen them this good, which it also scares me. It also scares me a little bit because if everybody, if someone like me knows that they're really, really good, then maybe it is all over. I don't know, but I just can't see it. And when I see Harmony today up 9%, DRD Gold up 7%, Pan African Resources up 5.6%, etc., I think to myself, yeah, these aren't just Johnny come lately, so I'm going to hold on to the coattails of Skulk Low. This is proper investing.
Yeah, yeah. Because remember what Lindsay was saying when he talks about fundamentals. We're not talking about the physical fundamentals only on the commodity gold. We talk about the miners. Most of these companies, you know, have reported over the past, let's call it 4 weeks. And you mentioned some of them: Durban, Roodepoort, Deep, Pan African, which is smaller ones, and then we've got the larger one: Anglo Gold, Goldfields, and Harmony. All of them reported, and all of them stated that they pretty much got no debt anymore. I mean, even Harmony, that bought all of these Anglo Gold South African mines a few years ago, their debt levels are suddenly looking great. Their free cash flow is going through the roof. And if these miners, you know, don't find any new mines to buy, new opportunities to invest in, we're going to start seeing them being pretty crazy dividend payers pretty soon, because they're going to sit with so much cash. I mean, Durban, Roodepoort, Deep, I don't have it in front of me, but they reported 2 weeks ago. And they were sitting with 1.3 or 1.4 billion rand in cash on the balance sheet. I mean, this is a smaller mine that was sitting with massive debt levels. And just again, I have time now to just go. You know, when I talk about the miners and I talk about the gold, usually I like looking at the ETF. The largest ETF for gold is the one that they call the GLD, and that's the gold ETF.
Yes.
That has done, since the beginning of this year up to yesterday's close, 24% in dollar terms. So that's a pretty great return. That's just showing you that the gold price has done pretty phenomenal since the beginning of the year. And when you compare that to the gold miners, I like using the Van Eck gold miners ETF. That's taking the biggest, more let's call it established mines, because they do have the Van Eck junior miners. That's the upcoming gold mines. But when you look at the Van Eck gold miners, that has done exactly 60% up to the close of yesterday over the same period. So comparatively, the gold miners has done better, not a dripping roast anymore. But looking forward, if we do see a JP Morgan forecast being spot on, gold surpassing $4,000, hell, don't be surprised if you see another 60-odd percent in gold miners. I'm not calling that. I'm just saying that these guys are geared to the gold price. If the gold price move up with those amounts, these gold miners are going to do flipping well.
On the markets today, the dollar rand is 17.67. Everyone's waiting for the US jobs numbers on Friday. The British pound against the rand, 23.74. Euro rand, 20.62. Euro dollar, 116.75. That euro, 0.4% higher against the greenback, which is why commodities are being boosted. On that note, what have you got for the gold price? I've got two different screens. What have you got, please, Skulk? Spot gold.
I've currently got gold price as $3,562 per ounce.
I've got $3,563. Okay. Up $30 an ounce on the day. The platinum price up $50 to $1,462. Hence, Valterra's good move. We'll come to that in a moment. And palladium up $35 or 3% to $1,188. Did I give the platinum price? $1,461 per ounce, 3.5% up. Okay, what else have we got? Why have I got the copper price up there? I think it was because I was looking at it because Harmony bought into a copper mine, didn't they, Skulk? Was it Harmony or Goldfields? Harmony, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Goldfields, but why do I think it was? Was it Harmony?
Okay. I thought it was Harmony, yeah. You were talking about all the money that I had. I think they used some of it buying copper, which I think is a fantastic buy long term. The oil price, West Texas, $63.93, down 2.5%. The Brent crude oil price, $67.57, down 2.25%. But these are still just range bound. I have got the South African 10-year bond yield closing at 9.645%. That is up about 2 basis points. The US 10-year is 4.222. That's a 5.5 basis point fall in yield. So the bond price itself is up. The S&P 500 futures doing okay. They're up 0.6%, getting back yesterday's losses. 6,462 for the September futures. And what else have I got? Bitcoin. Bitcoin is 112,154, which is up 1.2%. So that's quite a decent rally in the last few days. What about the stocks that have done well and done badly on the JSE today. I've got Harmony up 9.1%, Valterra up nearly 9%, DRD another digger up nearly 7%, another digger Pan African Resources 5.7% in the green, and just to complete the digger five, Sibanye-Stillwater chips in with a near 5% gain. On the downside, I don't know what ASP is. What's ASPI, a scalp, down 17.25%?
I don't know that on my screen, so that, yeah.
Okay, I think it's some property thing. Anyway, Nedcore down 5.75. Is that ex-div?
Yeah, they've got a 10-odd rand dividend.
Okay, Resilient down 4.25%, Hammerson down 2.9%, Nexaro down 2.8%. You can chip in with any ones on the upside or downside that you so wish.
I think you covered them all. I did see that Cashpool did in fact a report.
Yes.
I think market just expect a little bit more because Cashpool was down 3.3% for today. That's the only one I could most probably add to the risk group. But geez, man, what a day! I mean, finished my report 2 days ago on the update of the market usually for August, where I look at what resources have done. We had resources doing phenomenal in August, starting the month off on Monday, another 2-odd%. And here we go. I mean, you read all those the Volterras up, like 9%, Harmony up 8.6%, Durban really put deep. This is good. Lindsay, the listeners out there, from a South African point of view, and I did a tweet today, and I'm so glad it was taken with such a positive frame of mind from South Africans, because I say we often so hard on ourselves as South Africans, being such a proud nation. When we do well, we're so proud, but when the Proteas lose a game or two, they often do refer to as the chokers. I mean, last month, we were playing against Australia and the
Hold on, let me get my handkerchief first, Scout, before you carry on. I've got a real tear in my eye. See you. Such a lovely story.
No, wait for it. If you didn't watch the match, I promise you I'll have you in tears now, because, I mean, losing a game 38-22 after leading the game 22.
I've watched the match, don't worry. And I have to say, it was the most extraordinary collapse I've ever seen, particularly from the best team in the world, in my opinion.
Correct. I mean, we're not used to losing from coming from Springboks. But the next day, it was as if we lost a family member. It was so sad.
That's not what's got me reaching for the handkerchief. It's the whole South African thing. We're such a proud nation, and if this happens and that happens, but I'm so happy.
But Lindsay, you know it. 5 years ago, I mean, some of these commentators, and I mean, they were still talking. People say, get your money out of the South African market, get it out of JSE, just go invest in offshore. And usually, that offshore is not just offshore; it's S&P 500, which is just the US. Mm. Now, I know it's 60% of the MSCI All Country World or 70% of the MSCI World, but as we sit here today, the JSE, in a 5-year period where the S&P 500 has done over 113% in rand terms, the JSE did more. We're not celebrating that enough.
In US dollar terms, and you're quite right. And I saw your tweet, and correct, I've seen you on LinkedIn as well. So, yeah, congratulations. It is a reason to celebrate. Just be careful, everybody, not to get too carried away, and be ready to take protection should the market start to crack. Give us the closing JSE indices, please, Scott. We've run out of time. Off you go.
Oh, there we go. I can see. JSE today closed at 101,515 points. That is up 34 basis points. Resources led by a country mile, 3.44% up for today, while the rest of the indices were down. I mean, we had the industrials down 16 basis points, financials down 1.3 basis points, and the property index, the property sector, that was down a whopping 1.7%. When we look at the value traded through the market, not a bad day at all. We've seen just over 33 billion traded through the JSE. Very similar to yesterday, so that's always a good sign. So now let's see. Let's wait and see how the US go. I know they're upbeat after Google it seemed to like they don't need to go and sell Chrome. So that's up over 7%. So that's, I would say, keeping the S&P 500 in positive territory. But I feel nervousness coming from that side, definite nervousness.
So do I. And we will talk about that nervousness to see if it's manifested itself on the market screen next Wednesday. Skulklow is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.